Thank you, Reverend Victor Hall. They say now that we are no longer a young country because we've had our 60th anniversary. We're now a middle-aged country. So we're trying to avoid a midlife crisis, but we're getting through it. Our next speaker needs no introduction. He is famous all over the world, here in Israel as well. And I had the opportunity of spending lunch with him at his church in Tampa Bay, and his lovely wife and family, who I think your daughter is more supportive of Israel than anyone at that table. She's just a great family, and to really get a chance to speak with him about some of the different concerns, geopolitical concerns and questions of our time, was a great honor, and I thought it would be very fitting to have him here speak at the Knesset and be with us for our 60th anniversary. We're so happy that he could be with us today. Please welcome Reverend Rodney Howard Brown.
Well, it's a great honor to be here, and I know all those that have come, we are looking forward to today, but the next number of days as we tour this place and walk where our Lord and Savior walked. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Israel's help, because I know that people are looking to us to go back and be a voice. But the Word of God declares, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My health cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Israel, as a nation, really, to be honest with you, and I know that you're looking for our help, but Israel doesn't need our help. Because, to be honest with you, we can't even help ourselves. Nations are trying to get together. We have a group called the United Nations that is more chaos than you've ever seen in your life. They don't even pay their parking fines. So the nations talk, and they love talking. But Israel's help comes from Almighty God. The only way for Israel to get that help is they have to cry out to God. Now, as a born-again believer, of course, I call myself, really, I'm of the seed of Abraham. Now, when our dear Pastor David Decker got up and he spoke about 12 million being the population, of course, I want to disagree with you. God did not lie when he told Abraham that your seed would be as the number of the sands and as the stars of the heavens. And so we have to look a little bit beyond those that were, say, born here or that are of Israeli descent. I'm of the seed of Abraham, and Abraham's blessings are mine, according to the Word of God. And if we just go back and look at the history of this land, you see it's a history of serving God and then seeing the blessings of God. Then they go away from God and follow false gods, and they come into captivity. The enemies rise up right in their midst. We just have to read the book of Deuteronomy 28, where he says, you know, if you obey the Lord your God and you serve him, then you're going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. You're going to be the head and not the tail. Your enemies will run from you seven ways. The first 14 verses are phenomenal. The blessings of Abraham. Amazing. How many have read Deuteronomy 28? I want to encourage you to read that today. But go on, and this is not only for Israel, this is for America too. The cursings, if you read verse 15, if you don't obey the Lord your God and you don't keep his commandments and follow him, then you're going to be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed coming in, cursed going out. Your enemies will rise up and possess your gates, and you'll be besieged on every side. So I'm not just saying this for Israel, but for the United States as well. We have to cry out to Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, and there must come a repentance. And people have to humble themselves. He said, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. So as the nation of Israel, and I'm talking right here in the Knesset, as this whole government cries out to God, whether they like to or not, that's the only salvation for Israel, is this nation crying out to God to help them. God himself from heaven shall fight on their behalf, and there is not one enemy that will be able to stand before Israel. They will be defeated. It will come down to that. We understand that, but we've got to. I'm not one for playing games, and I'm not one for looking to be politically correct, and I'm not even one for looking to be invited back. I come to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, as... please, David, behave yourself. Okay. Calm down. It's people like you that give me a bad name when I'm trying to do my job. Hold yourself together now, David. Remember where we are. The most important thing that we have to realize, because we can look to this group to help us and that group to help, and I'm not saying we can't help. We are going to do everything within our power, even coming out of this trip, going back home, talking to leaders, seeing how we can motivate many other leaders to come be a part of the Third Assembly. I'm going to be doing that. That's my commitment to you, Josh and David and all those involved here. My cry is this, that as we call out to Almighty God, Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth, to come, there will come a deliverance that will come only from him. Because something that God can do that we cannot do is God wreaks havoc in the camp of the enemy. We see that even when God brought Israel out of captivity, when he brought them out of Egypt. And they, remember, you know the whole story of the Passover, how they couldn't leave Egypt till they had the lamb, you know, in them and the blood over the doorpost and the lintels of the house. And then the angel of death passed over, but it did not touch the firstborn. And God brought them forth with silver and gold. And there was not one sick or feeble one among their tribes. And he took them and they came up to the sea and there was no way through. And when the rod was lifted up and the waters parted and the seas were congealed and held at bay, and they went through on dry land. He brought them forth, El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, the creator of heaven and earth, and he delivered them with a strong and a mighty hand. He delivered them and he brought them, and he wanted to bring them into the promised land, the place of promise. And of course, there were those that said, we can't do it. There are giants in the land. The sons of Anak dwell therein. We look as grasshoppers in their sight. Yes, it's a land that overflows with milk and honey, but we're not able to do it. But Joshua said, we be well able to do it. We can go up and take it. And so because of disobedience, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years and wait for a generation of people that would die off because they would not obey the promises of God to go up at once and possess the land. For it was just a few days' journey. Even though the cities were walled and very great, God would give them every city, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread. He said, I have given it unto you. All the land of the Hittites, all the land, whatever the fight over the land is, it does not matter what they say. We have to go back to the word which says, he said, I've given it to you. But that can only come as Israel cries out to God and humbles themselves. And as we humble ourselves before God, the man that kneels before God can stand before any man. And he says, there will not be able to stand before you any man all the days of your life. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you now stand, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. I've given you all the land. And that only comes as we stay submitted to the creator of heaven and earth. As we go away from him, then the enemies come. They rise up big. They possess us at our gates. It's the same for the United States of America. And of course, many don't even understand what is going on there now and the struggle that is. And America's not ready for what's coming. So I say this because thank God for Joshua, who was of the opinion that they could take the land. And we know what happened, how that when they begin to possess the cities, they begin to fall. You know the story of how that when all the kings were coming against him and he was called, how he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. Now, I say this as a message of hope because as Israel cries out to God, I believe that as a nation, they can stand up and they can tell the darkness, no, the sun is not going to set yet. We will not allow you to sit. I say this for the church in America, the same thing. We have the authority given to us by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand and to decree and to declare and to tell the sun that is fast going down on the horizon of time, you will not sit. We will have another hour of daylight because the harvest must come in and he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And so we're going to see Israel will be shaken by the power of God. The glory of God will cover Israel. It's going to cover Egypt. It's going to cover Syria. I mean, all the lands of the Middle East will be shaken by the glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. This might not be reported in the New York Times or the Jerusalem Times, but this is in the Bible Times. And I'm going to stand by what the Bible Times say. Can you say amen? So this can only happen as we humble ourselves, as we repent, as we cry out to God, Lord, we need your help. You know, somebody said we need the help of the United Nations. You don't need any help from the United Nations. They can't even help themselves. We need the help from America. America's trying to help itself right now. We need the help from Almighty God. And with God and whoever is a majority, that's it. As small as this land is, as small and even the population and whatever people say, we don't have the resources, we don't have the ability, we don't have the might. What do you need when you have the creator of heaven and earth? You don't need anybody else. You need no one. But that help only comes as we humble ourselves and we say, God, we need your help. I want us to pray right now if we can. And pray for Israel. We're going to do that right now. And let's believe God. Because he knows everything. You know, we only know little, but we know, we see through a glass darkly. We know in part, we prophesy in part. We know only what we know, and most of the time we know nothing. I find out the longer that I've studied and been around the things of God. My uncle was a great theologian in our country. He died when he was 93, founded a theological seminary, many doctorates. And I have a few myself. But he said to me, he said, you know what? He said, the more I know, the more I don't know. And he said, I know nothing. And I looked at him. I said, wow, you 93 know nothing. I said, what chance is it for me? So the more we know, the less we know. But God knows everything. He sees everything. He knows the hearts of men. He knows our days. Our days are numbered. He knows the rising up of us. He knows our lying down. He knows the thoughts of everyone in this room. He knows what's going on in Israel right now. He knows everything about the Knesset. He knows all the parties. He said, I bring kings up and I bring them down. As we cry out to God for his help, then he will organize and he will arrange things and he will bring things into its place. We have to trust him. We have to believe him. Even though some things don't make sense to us, we have to trust him. But let's pray, because we have that ability to cry out to him today. So could we stand as we pray right now? And I'm going to ask you in your seats, if you would join hands, and then let's pray together over this wonderful land that we're standing on right now. Father God, creator of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of the Knesset, the God of every single person in this place, we cry out to you even this day that you would have mercy upon this land that's been torn apart by every wind that would come its way. Lord, even in the coming elections here in the nation of Israel, that God, you would work your work. We pray even now that the enemy would be stopped in his tracks, that every work of the enemy would be brought to naught. Just like when the angels pulled the wheels off of the chariots of Pharaoh, so even do a work and stop the plan of the wicked one against this land. And we stand like a Joshua in this hour, and we say to the sun, you will not sit, you shall not go down. But we shall have another hour of daylight, and the battle shall be won, and the victory shall be great. And we decree it, and we declare it, and we speak it now I pray even that your fire would fall upon this land, for you are the God that answers by fire. You are not a God that has eyes that cannot see, that has ears that cannot hear, that has a mouth that cannot speak. But you are a God that acts, and you move quickly. And with the breath of your nostril, you do breathe upon this land. From the north to the south, to the east and the west. Shake everything that can be shaken. That, Lord, you would present this land. You would present it as a royal diadem. And it shall be called Beulah. And we decree it and we speak it in the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. And everyone said, thank you. We love Israel. We love you, Josh. We love you. Thank you.